right, I think I'll just call the meeting to order here, and if the last person shows up, we'll catch her up to speed. It's Jenna that's missing, right?
That's correct, Jenna Harris.
All righty. We want to call the meeting order, have a roll call vote.
Aye.
David Barnum is not here, I know that. Jean Diaz?
Here.
Teresa Greger?
Here.
Jenna Harrison, I know is not here. Michael Hunsaker?
Here.
Darius?
How do you pronounce it?
Kayak.
Kayak, there you go.
Here.
Tom Kimura?
Here.
Okay, and our alternates, Robert Bowen?
Here.
And Stacy Carlson?
She's absent.
Robert, you can come up to the
mm-hmm.
desk, there's no problem with that. Okay. I'd like to start off the meeting, as we do in our elementary school, or all our schools every day, if we can say the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready, begin?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I think my flag needs to be fixed. It's drooping. Okay, introductions. Citizens Oversight Committee, this is your first meeting of most of you. Some of you have been here in the past. So maybe if we can just go around the room and introduce ourselves quickly and maybe give a little history of yourself here in the district.
I'm Robert Bowen. I've been here in San Marcos about 13 years. I'm a retired engineer and senior logistician from Lockheed Corporation. I'm an inventor and a book writer.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Tom?
I'm Tom Kimura. I served as an alternate last time on the Citizen Oversight Committee. I have a finance background, and I have a son that's attending San Marcos High. He's a sophomore and very active in Key Club and Varsity Club.
I'm Gene Diaz. I have a son who's about to leave the school district. He's a senior at San Marcos. He's sorry he's not going to see the new building. And I have one that will. He just started. He's in the middle of middle school.
Mm-hmm.
So two kids. I have a finance background. I started in public finance with Citigroup about 22 years ago. And then also spent time in corporate finance, asset-backed securities. I'm now a financial strategist with Tax and Financial Group, headquartered in Newport Beach, probably down the street from me.
I'm Teresa Greger, and I've been here since 99. I moved here from New York. I have four kids. One has already graduated. She's a junior in college. I have a senior at the high school, a freshman at the high school, and then a five-year-old in the TK program here in the district. So I'm here for a while.
Michael.
Mike Hunsaker, chairman and founder of the Property Owners Defense League, on the board of the Twin Oaks Valley Property Owners Association, working as a citizen advocate on various programs. Previously, I'm a retired engineer and program manager, worked in the high tech global industries, and been here 17 years. One grandchild going through the system. Graduate soon. And glad to be here.
I'm Darius Platt. We have three kids in the district, two at Paloma and one at San Leo. I'm an attorney. I've been practicing here in San Marcos for about 20 years. My area of practice is primarily estate planning, and I do some corporate work. And I'm reappointed to the committee.
Wonderful. Start over here with
I forgot to mention I was the San Diego Taxpayer Association representative on this. Sorry.
That's okay.
I'm Diane DeBruin. I work in the facilities department with Kathy and Kari.
I'm Cecilia Geary. I am Gary's administrative assistant and your secretary.
I'm Kari Knowles. This is my third day, so give me some. But I'm taking over for Kathy as the executive director of facilities for the district. Three kids in the district, well, one in school and two a little younger, up and coming, but excited to be here. So nice to meet all of you.
Kathy Tanner, now the special projects director, working on the San Marcos High School project.
I'm Gary Hamels, assistant superintendent of business. Been here since the year 2000. So brought us through some remodeling. In the case of San Marcos, I remodeled San Marcos High when I arrived. Constructed a few schools, Mission Hills, both San Alejos, Joliane, Leech Tag, and the reconstruction of San Marcos Elementary School. And really enjoy working with this district. It's come a long way in the past 15 years. So as commissioner, I hope you're really proud of it. It's one of the top districts in San Diego, if not California. So
yeah, it continues to get good press. That's great.
Yes, yes. Great people, great kids. So I'd like to introduce Rob Ansell. He's our attorney, district's attorney.
Hi, my name is Robert Ansell. I'm a partner with Bowie, Ernest & Wiles & Gino in Newport Beach, California, as Gene said. Been practicing law since 1985 and working in the area of municipal finance since 1987. We've been working with the district since, what, about 2000 or so?
I thought it was sooner, earlier than that, before
I think it might even be into the 90s.
Much,
yeah.
Before I came.
We were the bond counsel for Prop K. For those veteran members who will remember the orientation, this will kind of sound, some of what I'm going to say is going to sound kind of familiar, but for the new members, we hope it will be productive for you.
So, first and foremost on our agenda is public comments. Do we have anyone wishing to speak, Cecilia?
I don't know that
we're
we do.
Probably not as official as a true board meeting. We don't have sign-in sheets, so any members of the committee would like to speak tonight? No? Okay. Presentations. We generally want to go, this is a meeting we have every 2 years to instruct all our new board members on how the committee works and all the laws and regulations, so I'm going to turn it over to Rob to take it from here.
Thank you, Gary. Let me give you a little bit of background. After an extensive multi-year review, the school district board launched into a general obligation bond measure in 2009-2010. That was the result of extensive discussions, planning, and a lot of review of the district's facilities needs and, you know, the needs of the community in terms of educational requirements for the district schools. The culmination of that was that in the summer of 2010, the school district board adopted a resolution to call a general obligation bond measure, which got designated as Proposition 7 or Prop K. You can tell that by the books. And that bond election was called pursuant to the provisions of Proposition 39, which was passed by the state voters in November 2000. What it did is it lowered the threshold for voting requirements for school district general obligation bonds from 2/3 to 55%, but put various, what we call the one of those requirements is that the district appoint, maintain, and support an independent citizens oversight committee. So this committee was originally formed about 2 years ago with the original members, and members serve for a two-year term and are then re-upped. Under current law, they can serve a maximum of 3 2-year terms or 6 years in a row. It is the district's goal to have some turnover periodically on the CSE members, so you don't get to the end of 6 years and have to bring up a whole new cadre of CSE members. So I see some veteran faces on the committee and some new faces, so the idea is that you always have kind of a veteran cadre and a new set of members.
One more option.
The district, as I said, is required to support the Citizens Oversight Committee. In your notebooks, in tab 4, we have provided a paper principally concerning the purpose of the Citizens Oversight Committee. And some people come on to a Citizens Oversight Committee kind of wondering what it is that they do. And just let me clarify that for a bit. My analogy, and Gary has heard this many times, is that the Citizens Oversight Committee is kind of like the engineer sitting in the caboose of a train. That doesn't necessarily mean that it isn't an important job, But the decisions relative to what projects get done, in what order, and at what speed, i.e. what track to go down, you know, what speed we're going to go down the track and which direction we're going to head, all belongs to the school district board, the governing board. The Citizens Oversight Committee's job is principally, as I like to say it, to watch for stuff falling off the train. In other words, to watch out and make sure that the money pursuant to the bonds that are authorized under the bond measure is spent on the authorized projects. Also in your books, under tab 1, you will find a copy, and it may be different. Some of the older books may have different tabs than the newer books. The newer books have numbered tabs. I think the older books have colored tabs. So the veterans can hopefully kind of bear with me here. The newer people have the numbered tabs. Tab number 1 is the actual resolution adopted by the governing board of the school district to call the election that became Prop K. In the back of that resolution, you will find, beginning on page A-1, a list of the authorized school facilities. So when the voters of San Marcos School District authorized Proposition K, because they did pass it, with a very healthy majority, if I remember right, what they were saying is that any of the projects listed in A-1 through A-4 are projects on which the school district may spend bond money. And I'll get to how the bond monies arise in just a little bit. So essentially, this is what I call the four corners of the bond expenditure area, or what I sometimes call the reservation. And as long as the money stays on the reservation, doesn't go off the reservation, it's all good to go. You'll notice that some of the project descriptions are very specific, school by school by school. And then beginning on page A3 and A4, you have more general categories. So the district isn't required to say, gee, we're going to buy 100,000 boxes of nails. It can say, gee, we're going to modernize or upgrade or do various things and use more general language, and that's permitted under the law. So these are both documents that which you may want to read and familiarize yourself with as we go along. One of the jobs of the committee, when you get statements of expenditures, is to consider, gee, I see expenditures 1 through whatever number, 200, and I see that they're spent on, say, Alvin Dunn School. I'm just pulling that down out of the air. And as long as I know Alvin Dunn is on our project list and we have these things that can be done at Alvin Dunn, plus the general description that can be done at any site, we're all good to go. It is very, very rare that COC members find something that would be outside the four corners of the reservation, because Gary and Kathy and Carrie, their job is to make sure that the money doesn't go off the reservation, that it's in this project list. And by and large, most of the project has been San Marcos High School and the rebuilding of high school, at least mostly.
Well, a very good example, I think, especially to the new members, we're looking at building a new school. That's not a Prop K school, and I think you could say it's not in here that we went to the voters with. So very clear, people might ask you in the community, well, what about that new school, and you'll hear more and more about it. It's not a Prop K program.
Which
that's
means
funded out of separate funds.
No Prop K funds.
No Prop K funds.
That's right. So that would be an example. If you saw Prop K expenditures on the new school, you'd stick your hand up and say, hey, Gary, how about this? The idea is that you never have to do that. The goal is that the Citizens Oversight Committee sits in the caboose, watches the train goes forward, and doesn't see stuff falling off the train. If you do, then Gary and his staff, there's something wrong. And candidly, they would like to have you ask questions on that.
And we have an auditor, and you can explain the use of the auditor, that's looking for the same thing. You may not see, I mean, there are little things you'd never see. If I charge, like right now, I'm replacing my lawnmowers. Well, I'm not going to use this fund, but I could put it in. You'd probably never see it, but the auditors would. That's why we have an independent audit group that looks into actual spending. They start pulling expenditures, test them, match them against the voter-approved list, and so forth. So little things like that, because millions of dollars, if I buy a widget here or there, you're not going to look at every widget, but that's why we have independent auditors looking for that sort of thing, and then report back to the school board and yourselves if I did mischarge something like that to Prop K.
So as noted in the purpose paper, the principal job of the Citizens Oversight Committee is to communicate with both the school district and the public, yes, we have looked at all the expenditures, we don't see anything wrong. In aid of that, the Citizens Oversight Committee will get periodic reports, updates, and expenditure sheets from the district for all of you to look at. Also, the district will get annually an outside independent auditor will do both a financial audit to account for the money going in, money invested, and the, you know, beginning and ending balance, and a performance audit, which is what Gary just described, where they will randomly sample expenditures, compare them to the expenditure list, and provide a report to both the school district board and this committee saying, yes, everything we sampled was good, or if they find something that wasn't, they'll report it. In doing this for 13 years, I've only had one audit company once raise a question about an expenditure, and the staff and our firm sat down with the auditors. We went through it with this language, and it was based on a misinterpretation by the auditors of what the bond language was. Once we clarified that, the auditors withdrew their objection. That wasn't a case of us beating them up. It was a case where they very properly said, we have a question about this. We sat down with them, answered their questions, and under the accounting standards, they withdrew their objection. And again, like I say, I represent many, many citizens' oversight committees, many, many, many audits, and I've only seen that ever happen once. And it was a question, ring the alarm bell, turn the red lights on, et cetera. Also, the district maintains a website for the Citizens Oversight Committee. That's a source for minutes, agendas, documents you receive, etc. It is there for access by members of the committee and also access for members of the public who have an interest in this. And I will say this, we on behalf of the district, all appreciate your service, because serving on a Citizens Oversight Committee is not a compensated position, and it tends to involve some very dry reading. It's not what you would call an exciting and glamorous position, as the veterans can probably attest. One thing I did reference was how money is generated for the building projects. What happens is the bond measure was approved back in November of 2010. What we then did is, under the provisions of California law, the district issued what are called general obligation bonds, which are a municipal security. Gene probably knows those up in backwards. By selling those, they are long-term obligations that are repaid by taxes that are levied on taxable property within the boundaries of the school district. That they are repaid over time. In exchange for that, you get an upfront lump sum of money that goes into what's called the building fund for the general obligation bond. It is that building fund that the auditors audit, and it is that building fund that has the starting and ending balances and the drawdowns for the money as it is expended. So, much like a mortgage, the bonds are repaid both with principal and accrued interest over time, and when you finally get to the last maturity, they're finally paid off. It's quite probable that some of the bonds, X number of years from now, may be refunded if interest rates are low enough to where we can lower the tax burden on the taxpayer. But there was a tax rate statement provided to all of the voters when they approved the bond measure, and so far we've been able to meet all of the expectations that we provided to the voters. That's really kind of a thumbnail of the purpose of the committee. The committee also has the ability to take tours of schools, receive other information, and if there's something that a majority of the committee members decide, hey, we'd really like to see this reporting sheet, we'd like to see a separate breakdown for San Marcos High School, that's something you can request of the district staff, and they can work on providing that to you. So I'd ask if there are any questions relative to purpose. Yeah, Tom?
With regards to the bonds, there is also, you mentioned the repayment or refinancing
opportunities
yes. for the bonds, but there are bonds that we have incurred that we cannot do that.
There are a limited amount of bonds outstanding that we cannot refinance.
And that's in a total of about 90 million. So I think the board or the committee should know that, that there are these capital appreciation bonds that have a 40-year term. They're non-renegotiable. We cannot pay the interest early. If our assumptions are wrong, then it may lead to higher taxes later on.
I thought there was some question whether or not that could be done without the voter approval.
Capital appreciation, voters, the issue of using capital appreciation bond is not a voter issue. Once the voters authorize the bonds to be issued, they can be issued in one of several forms. They can be issued as tax-exempt or taxable form bonds, and they can be issued in a number of repayment methods. You've probably heard a lot of talk about capital appreciation bonds, and I can tell you that probably 50% of what you read in the newspaper about capital appreciation bonds is outright false. I have seen and had to go to numerous meetings where one of the words we've seen applied to capital appreciation bonds is that they're risky. And that is an absolute 100% falsehood. They are no more or less risky than any other general obligation bonds of any other agency. What has happened is we've gotten a few reporters who've decided on their own that this method of financing is somehow bad, and they've just used a batch of descriptions and thrown a batch of assertions around, as I say, about 50% of which are just flat out false. In trying to tar and feather a few people, I think completely unjustifiably.
Such as the San Diego County Taxpayers Association.
The San Diego County Taxpayers Association, well, I won't get into that. That's a political discussion. But I know that where the reporters are concerned, there have been a number of flat, outright false statements made. But again, what we're really trying to describe is really where the money comes from that the Oversight Committee reviews for expenditure.
Rob, I hopefully can add some balance to that conversation about cash. You know, capital appreciation bonds, it's a tool. It's a financing tool. And like any tool, it can be abused, but if it's used in the right way, it can help achieve important goals and objectives. You know, in the private sector, they're called zero coupon bonds. And they're used all the time. And in and of itself, they are not evil, they aren't bad. What's important is to look at how it fits in the context of the overall financing plan. If it was all cabs, it would be a huge problem. If it's a small piece and it happens to fit into the overall maturity schedule of the overall bond issue, it can help the school district achieve the funds that it needs to build the facilities that we need. So in and of itself, cabs are not bad, and I think Rob's right. There's been just so much that's been written about cabs that is overblown, and it doesn't provide the full perspective. Cabs need to be done carefully, right? There are aspects of cabs that if you aren't using them properly can be a problem, but we have to keep it in the perspective of the overall financing plan. And as far as I can tell so far, you know, this school district has not gone overboard with the use of cabs. But it is something that I think we need to be conscious of, we need to be aware of, and just be sure that it's used properly.
Right. I agree with that statement. The cabs, in terms of repayment, it causes the repayment to be a little higher because of the deferred interest.
Right, of course.
And so as long as there's full disclosure, and that's one of the purposes of the committee, is to point out, you know, that the use of these funds may, in some people's opinion, be risky, and that we should disclose that and let there be a full and open discussion. Because prior to the Poway incident in the community, I don't think I understood. I didn't understand what cabs were, and it just. It seemed like there should have been a little more open discussion at the time. But it was disclosed. It wasn't underhanded. There was nothing.
It just wasn't an issue.
It was an issue. The San Diego County tax assessor looked at it and said it was a good deal. He didn't say anything bad or about it. So it wasn't an issue at the time. But going forward, I think, you know, because of the implications, because the real estate prices had not recovered, I think we just should point it out.
You're absolutely right, Tom. There are two elements to that. One is understanding how it fits into the overall schedule of bond financing, all of the maturities, and where does this fit in? Is it the right fit? But it's also, as you point out, it's the borrowing capacity. It's the capacity of the community, and are the assumptions that are made about the community's ability to support the bonds, including prospective or existing issues of cabs, is it going to be sufficient to repay the bonds? I think that's absolutely right.
No, I understood that you used the 2% to escalator assumed increase in property values in those
different
bonds.
Different assumptions are used. For every single bond deal, there are different assumptions used. We have some clients where we don't even use 2% because we feel that we generally say, for our firm, you look at historical average. In other words, look backwards. What has the community done? How much development does there remain to be done in the community? How built out is the community? And what are the expectations moving forward? A fully developed district is going to have different AV expectations versus a district that's two-thirds undeveloped. And so one of the other things we look at is, okay, historically, if you look back 30 years, recognizing that real estate prices do this. They're right. Cyclical. They go up and down. And you can't predict when the up and down troughs are going to be. So what you do is you look at overall long-term averages, and looking backward and looking forward based on the criteria you know about, you look forward and use what the team assumes to be a reasonable expectation. But I think it's very well said is no matter what you forecast for assessed value or growth, you're going to be wrong. You know you're going to be wrong. It's just a question of trying to be as realistic as you can possibly be.
Okay, here's a technical question. I noticed on the current interest bonds, the interest starts, I guess, on the date of delivery.
Mm-hmm.
And it says the capital appreciation bonds are dated as the date of issuance. And you mentioned bonds were issued? Were these bonds issued?
Date of bond issuance and the date of delivery are the same day.
Okay.
They're just two different terms for the same day.
And the San Marcos High School renovation or rebuilding, mm-hmm. that's separate, but I noticed that there was some bond money set aside for San Marcos High School.
It's not separate. San Marcos High School is all Prop K.
I think Gary was referring to the new school. That is mm-hmm. not
the K-8. It doesn't have a name. It's the K-8 that we're looking to build.
It's not the new high school. It's the new.
Yeah, and the K doesn't mean Prop K. It's kindergarten. It's just for growth. It's a growth school. And we will have another one at some point in time. The university section, whatever they're calling it now. Pardon me?
City North or University City?
University, that has a school site in it, and when it will be built and needed, we're not sure. It all depends on how fast that community builds out of 2,400 units of some sort. So, and that will have another funding source. That's not Prop K as well.
Will that be fees?
Fees, hopefully state money, if they have some state money to give us. Their next bond may go, if they do have a next bond, it would be on a 214 cycle.
Yeah, they're talking November 14 for mm-hmm. the next school district bond for state.
Governor's not supporting it because he has other bonds he wants to sell. But that's it. I mean, we can belabor that discussion all night. And we will have other discussions on our bond, bonding and history and so forth. And we can get into that in much detail.
One other thing I'd like to do for the new members in tab 3 is a set of Citizens Oversight Committee policies that these pretty much mirror exactly state law relative to Citizens Oversight Committee, but they're actually expanded out from the statutes. They really deal with how the committee will operate and function. These are adopted by the governing board, and they pretty much control for the Citizens Oversight Committee members and for staff in supporting the Citizens Oversight Committee. So, having finished that discussion, I'll ask, are there any other questions regarding the purpose of the committee? Okay. Gary, would you like me to move on to the next one?
Yes, please.
The next topic we have, and this is in tab 5 of the book for the new members. I don't remember where it is. It may be in the light green tab for the veteran members. Is a summary of a piece of state law called the Ralph M. Brown Act, named for the legislator who got it passed in the first place. The Ralph M. Brown Act is also called California's Open Meeting Law. And what its principal intent is that public agencies and bodies of public agencies, of which the Citizens Oversight Committee is one, take their actions in open session where the public can hear, attend, and participate. If you keep that basic purpose in mind, the rest of the Brown Act kind of follows along. Some of the things the Brown Act requires is, as you see in the beginning of your book, we have an agenda. In other words, these are the items of business that the committee at this meeting is going to cover. And in general, the Brown Act does not let the committee go off topic. In other words, you can only take action here, deliberate, and take action on items that appear on the agenda. So if the committee directs or a committee member asks for a specific item to be on an agenda so that we can, the committee can talk about it, that will be added to the agenda. And the agenda then must be posted not only in a physical posting location but on the internet at least 72 hours before the meeting begins. That's Cecilia's job. We're going to point down here. But